we were thinking together how the Holy Ghost was poured out upon all flesh, at least at one period this great thought came up. And with this in mind, I wanted to look into the scriptures. Last night, those of us that were here looked into Genesis to see the beginnings of things where the great work of the Spirit of God was concerned. And I want to do that tonight in the New Testament. I want you with me to take your New Testaments in your hands and have them open, and we're going to look into the opening of the four Gospels, and we're going to proceed as the Lord leads us from there. Again, we're on beginning things, we're on fundamental things. We want to be on sure ground when we talk about the great person and matters of the Spirit of the Lord, because there is much erroneous teaching abroad about him, to say this in a general way concerning the sects that are off. You know that all these great heretical sects, like Jehovah's Witnesses and Christadelphians, and sorry to have to say that, but it's true. Not sorry to have to say it, but I'm not sort of aiming at anyone, or the exes. These people, like this, Mormons and I don't know what, they all go astray on God, the being and persons of God. This is where they all go wrong. And therefore, beloved, it is essential for us, not that I want to do it in any controversial way, or even say, because there's error in the world, we should know how to combat it. I never have believed that. I remember once saying to the president of a society, a Christian society, and the principal of a college was attached, I said, you know, it's not your job to get young men in here and train them about this, that, and the other. What you want to do is get them here and fill with the Holy Ghost and fire, and then send them out to preach the gospel. That's your job. Not to teach them this or that or the other particularly. One man full of the Holy Ghost and moving in the power of the Spirit is more than a match for all the false theories that are here. This is the thing for us to discover. And though it's useful sometimes to learn a little bit about your opponents, this is the sort of idea that's put over. Really all you need to do is to learn God. And then everything goes under too. Couldn't help thinking when we were singing that hymn about the Lord Jesus, his foes compelled to own, or all the great Messiah reigns. And whilst I sang it, I said, my foes too, Lord, for my foes are yours. That's right. And therefore, he reigns over all my foes as well as over all his own. It's blessed when all your enemies are Christ's enemies and all your friends are Christ's friends. Amen. That's the great thing, to move in the wonder and love of God. I couldn't help thinking too, whilst we were rejoicing in the Lord and praising him together, don't know whether you're used to such exercises, it was good to have them now and again. Bless the name of the Lord. I couldn't help thinking of a remark that a gentleman that's in the room once made to me. He'll remember saying it to me. It's a funny thing, I have a retentive memory for some things at times. When I talk like that, generally people start getting fidgety. Is it me that he's going to say that? But the person's in the room, and he said to me once, because he said, move in this kind of a atmosphere, in this kind of a meeting. He said, you know, when we used to come together, we were always talking about doctrines, what one believed and what the other didn't believe. Said, but when we get together, meaning you actually, people like you, said, we're all on the same wavelengths. We all sort of find we fit in. We all understand one another. We don't get on those sort of topics anymore. All we do is come and love. That's right. That's the tremendousness of it. And that's the reality of it. That's the seal of the Spirit. The seal of the Spirit is not a great thirst of the mentality and of the intellect to try and sort this out and sort that out. It's a great desire to get together in love like Father, Son and Holy Ghost do. They're not sorting one another out. Bless the name of the Lord. They all understand one another, and the basis of understanding is love. Didn't you know that? You young people that think about getting married, you must understand this. The basis of understanding is love, and you never understand anybody without love. Didn't you know that? Didn't you get in your mind to work and reading all the books on how you should get married and what you should do when you get married? Well, I never read one. People come to me and say, I read this book, that book and the other, and they expect me to comment on them. I don't know anything about them. Hallelujah. Marriage guidance and all that. Who wants that? Get married, you'll soon get all the guidance. I ought to know, I've been married 28 years today. That's right. I've had a guide for 28 years. Right? That's right. Amen. Well, all right. It's great to be able to come together and to love and to mingle in love and enjoy the Lord and glory in the Lord and let your hearts go right out. If you've got a heart that won't go out, get it changed. Yeah, you can do that, like that, when you really mean it. When you get really desperate about it, then you can get it changed. Praise God. And because it's a gift, it's not on sale terms, that they don't exchange sales goods. Once you get that, glory be to God, you've got a permanent heart, and it's wonderful, and you can go on with God, and move in the liberty of the Spirit. All right, let's turn to our Bible, shall we? And see what the Lord has to say. I want to look first, just in the beginning, right in the very beginning of the book. That is in Matthew. And this is how it reads. This is what it says. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Now that's what it's all about. These are the first words that you read when you read your New Testament. That this, it's not only right as the first words of Matthew's Gospel, but it's right as to be the first words, the introductory words to the whole of the New Testament. It's all the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, and it's about nothing else. The whole of the New Testament. Amen. It's just about the generation of Jesus Christ. Glory, that is. Isn't it? This great generation. You know, you're a chosen generation. You believe that, don't you? Yes, this is what it's all about. It's not only about just the earthly life and birth and story of the Lord Jesus Christ, but it's about all the sons of God. And what you aren't read, and as we will tonight, we're going together into this, what we read is not only true of him, but it's also true of us. Great generation of Jesus Christ. Now, the tremendousness about it is that if you compare this, say, with Old Testament, you'll find the generations of Noah, the generations of Abraham. But when it comes to Jesus, it's generation, singular, not plural. A very big thing for you to bear in mind. Amen. And in other words, God moved, and he did. He moved through all history before Jesus Christ to the place where he could generate Jesus Christ on the earth. Amen. And all moved to this generation. This great, wonderful work of God in generating his Son. And, beloved, it's a wonderful introduction to the New Testament. You will know, of course, when I quote that great word that Peter quotes from Joel, that is, that Peter quotes it in Acts chapter 2, then I use this word that God in the last day is going to pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. And this was the answer that Peter gave, or part of the answer that Peter gave to those who inquired on the day of Pentecost. What means this? And this all came in the "this is that." Hallelujah. In that wonderful answer. This is what's happening. God is pouring out his Spirit upon all flesh. Amen. And that really was the beginning of the new covenant, because I expect we all know that the new covenant did not begin until the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost. That's when it all began. When Jesus, having shed his blood and risen again, ascended back to heaven and presented that blood as the great high priest, that blood of sprinkling, presented it there in heaven and said, "Now, Father, give me the Holy Ghost. You promised me," this was the great promise, "you promised me the Holy Ghost," and my Father was so open and Jesus was so open that God poured the Holy Ghost, the Father poured the Holy Ghost through Jesus and through him upon all flesh. What a wonderful, wonderful thing this is, beloved. And we're going to look into these Gospels to see the great order of God. God has shown us the pattern of it all. Because, you see, this was always the great intention of God in the beginning. Let's go back to John. We'll see. We'll see what it says in John. "In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God." John chapter 1, this is verse 1. "And the Word was God." And in verse 14, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." Now, this was the tremendousness of it all. That Word had to become flesh. And so we have the book of the generation of Jesus Christ. This was always so, right in the beginning. It was with the Father, always was. And so we turn our Bibles to Luke. And when we get to Luke, and we look into the opening chapter of Luke, this is a good way to know your Bibles, isn't it? In the opening chapter of Luke, we find out how the Word became flesh. Now, the Word became flesh in precisely the same manner that Luke, who wrote the Acts of the Apostles, means, and to which he refers, when he says, "I'm going to pour my Spirit upon all flesh." Now we've got an example in just one flesh. That flesh was Mary. Alright. God chose to make the Word flesh through Mary. And in it, he gave us the pattern for what he was going to do on the day of Pentecost and following. He chose a virgin. She was flesh. Alright, let's read the story. We often do, don't we? You must never get away from this. It's fundamental. In Luke chapter 1, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her. Now listen, here's God speaking. It's the Word of God coming to Mary. The Word has to be flesh. Alright? And he says, "Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation it should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. See what happens when the Word becomes flesh without any mixture. Just the Word. This is what happens. Amen. No interference. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing that I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Verse 37, For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, I'm just your serving maid, Lord. I'm behold the handmaid of the Lord. I'm right here at your hand. Just be it unto me according to what you said, according to thy word. And that's how the Word became flesh, by God pouring his Spirit upon her. She said, How? He said, the Holy Ghost, for the Holy Ghost is God's how. That's how God does everything. The Holy Ghost, that's God's how. God's why is Jesus. God's how is the Holy Ghost. That's right. You say, why did he do it? Well, because he wanted Jesus. He wanted a son in the flesh. How did he do it? By the Blessed Spirit. And this is the tremendous thing. This is exactly the same as you read in Acts chapter 1. It's exactly the same. In Acts chapter 1, this is what you read. Verse 8. You shall receive the power of the Holy Ghost coming upon you. That's the Greek. You shall receive the power. That's the exact thing that the angel said. The power of the Holy Ghost coming upon you. You shall receive the power of the Holy Ghost coming upon you. Praise God. And when it all happened, they said, God pouring his Spirit upon all flesh. Hallelujah. And when he pours his Spirit upon all flesh, pray, why does he do it? Because he wants to do exactly the same thing in all flesh as he did in Mary. He wants to make the Word flesh. It's all words until this happens. A word we believe, a word this, a word that, a word the other. But when this happens, all the word we believe becomes flesh, becomes real. Is that right? Well, that's what's happened to me. Glory. You see, the angel came and he said, The Lord's with thee. That's old covenant, Emmanuel, God with us, you see. But he says, It's going to come in you. That's the new covenant. I'm in you. You see? And God came into her. By the Holy Ghost, she received the dunamis from on high. She was, in other words, in the sense in which it was true in the Old Testament, and this is the pattern for all else, she was baptized in the Spirit. She was inwardly baptized in the Spirit. Glory be to the name of the Lord. And it required that, if not, Jesus would have been a sinner. It required that to keep sin out. Praise God. And that holy thing that was born of her was called the Son of God. Praise God. Have you ever had an experience like that? I stayed in a house not so very long ago, and these were people, they, you know, like so many of us, they'd met up with, they'd been Baptists or something like that, and then you know, some had been brethren, exclusive brethren. Some of them, one the husband would have been an exclusive brother, the wife had been a Baptist. You see, I stayed in their house. They knew a lot more friends, and they'd been Baptists, Methodists, I don't know what nots, and they'd all got together sometime, and God had moved on them, and they'd been baptized in the Spirit, and they were getting together and having some great times together. And you see, and I went to stay with them in their house. And she said to me one day, well, I'll tell you what she did say. Hope she doesn't ever hear this tape. Sometimes, I had a letter the other day that said, we did laugh at what you said on the tape about us. They seem to get around the country, but they guessed it was them from what I said. I must describe things pretty faithfully. But they said to me after I'd said, you should have heard the things we'd heard about you, they said. We heard this and that and the other about you. I said, yes, I know, you people usually do. But we got to talking, she said, you know, brother, she said, and she called me brother, I'm her big brother, really, she's only about middle 20s, I think. You know, brother, she said, I never really lived till I was baptized in the Holy Ghost. I said, that's right, you didn't either. It's come out of your own mouth. That's what I'm here to tell you. That's right. She said, I didn't, you know. I didn't live. She said, I believed I was converted, I'd had all sorts, but I didn't really live. Said, I was baptized in the Spirit. I said, you've spoken the truth, my dear. That's right. Yeah. I said, it's come out of your own mouth. You didn't wait for me to tell her. I would have told them before many days were passed. But it might not have been quite so direct as that. But she told me herself. And when her husband came home, he started saying, he said, you know, he went through the same. Then I met all the other youngsters, and they all more or less agreed the same. That they'd never really lived until they were baptized in the Spirit. I said, of course you didn't. Of course you didn't. Praise God. You see, the Holy Ghost came on Mary. No, hallelujah. A life began, the real life. Amen. It was all so wonderful. Call his name Jesus. It was wonderful. You know, we get ideas about receiving Jesus Christ. When you think about receiving Jesus Christ, or when you can think of a day perhaps when you were young, when you were told to receive Jesus Christ, and you did receive Jesus Christ, what did you have in your mind when you did it? Did you think you sort of got a little tiny thing about as big as a thumbnail? It went inside your heart. And you received Jesus. This is the sort of thing that's so wrong, beloved. When Jesus comes in, do you realize he was a great big man, bigger than I, when he died? And when he comes in to take up all the place. He comes in to live in you. What do you need to take over when Jesus comes in? It's not a little belief you get inside. That's a conversion when you get a belief inside. It does you some good. It changes quite a lot about you. But when he comes in, this great God that's filling the throne, he comes to take over. Before that, you've been converted to beliefs about him. They're very good. Very proper. Very true. And this is the great and wonderful thing, beloved. The Word has got to become flesh in you. It's got to come into your flesh. Not just into your mind. Not just into that portion of you that can believe. So that you can believe it. Wonderful, you have to believe it. But oh, it's wonderful when he comes right in. Oh, glory be to the name of the Lord. And this is what the Lord is intending with us all, beloved. Got to see this so very, very clearly. In all our lives. Is this so with you? Let's look into Mark's Gospel, and we'll get something else. When we read in the first chapter of Mark, it starts differently again. The beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ. Now you know, the man that starts this, and I suppose that you all believe, as I believe, and of course it's true, that the words of our scripture are given from God, the same Holy Spirit. He chose the way these people started all their gospels, what they're called the gospels, but only Mark starts off like this. I remind you, Matthew, he starts off the book of the generation. John starts off, in the beginning was the Word. Just traced it through. We never read the actual opening of Luke's Gospel, but he starts about, for as many have, so on. For as much as many have taken in hand, we didn't read this, it's sort of a little preamble. Then he passes to the great thing. But look, Mark, he says, the beginning of the Gospel. He doesn't say anything about the Word or the generation. He doesn't say anything about anything like that. He goes into this great gospel. Let's see what he has to say. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophets. Did you think the gospel was written in the prophets? It's a pity they do put verse divisions in. The gospel was written in the prophets. Amen. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophets. Now that's where you should, that belongs to verse 1, really, that phrase. Now then, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. And you know what happened. He goes straight on to John, baptizing. You go right down, and this is what he says. Verse 8, I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. And straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opened and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Glorious, isn't it? This great conscious knowledge that he was the Son, the beloved Son of God. Amen. The Word had become flesh. He'd really been generated. Jesus Christ. Wonderful, isn't it? Eh? And the angel said he's going to be called the Son of God. And who first called him the Son of God? His Father. Thou art my Son. He'd come forth from he'd had a power generation into the world. Glory from the Holy Ghost. Amen. He'd always been the Word in the Spirit, but now he's the Word in the flesh. Amen. He'd always been the Word of God. Now he's the Word among men. He's the Word of men. That's right. And he comes forth and God says, the Father says, Thou art my beloved Son. Has Father ever talked to you like that? Amen. Thou art my beloved Son. And here we are, listen. In whom I am well pleased. And immediately, here's the great life then that comes forth from the Spirit. The Spirit driveth him. Here then is the last thing I want to say at this point. That a man that comes forth in this manner from this mighty baptism is a man that's under the drive of the Spirit. He comes forth from the power of baptism in the Spirit. He's a man who's entirely under the drive of the Spirit, not the drive of the flesh. That's a terrible thing. It often gets substituted for the things of the Spirit. Oh, what a trail of misery and havoc it leaves behind it. Sad, sad indeed, if we're linked up with, in any way, with people of this nature who are totally deceived, thinking they're under the drive and power of the Spirit, not under the drive and power of the flesh. And, beloved, here then is this great annunciation, this declaration from God. And so, when God pours forth His Spirit upon all flesh, He pours forth the Spirit for exactly the same reasons that the Spirit came on Mary in this wonderful pattern. Amen. That in us, totally in us, this glorious Lord Jesus Christ may be. In this flesh of ours. You know the great thing, don't you, in John's Gospel, in John's Epistle, those well-known words in the fourth chapter. This is, we can see it, we can read it in all the simple plainness that we all do so love. In the end of the third chapter of the Epistle of John, this is what we read. He says this. Verse 23. This is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, as He gave us commandment. And he that keepeth His commandments dwelleth in Him, and He in him. And hereby we know that He abideth in us by the Spirit which He hath given us. Beloved, believe not every spirit. Now you've got to tell whether the Spirit's been given to another human spirit. You've got to know. You haven't got to believe every spirit. They may say all sorts of things, but you've got to know. And every human spirit that has been received the gift of the Spirit, we know by the Spirit which He's given to us. All right? Every human spirit, he, verse 2, you'll know the Spirit of God, whether He's there. Every human spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. There it is. In the flesh. This is what He's come for. And this is why God gives the blessed Spirit. That your spirit should know and confess that Jesus Christ is right down here again in your flesh. I was talking with somebody not so long ago. As a matter of fact, it was last weekend when I was in London. And this precious soul was talking to me and said, I can't believe all this wonder. And I said, oh, well, let's have a look at the Scripture. That's what the Scripture says. Look. That's what the Scripture says. Look. I said, well, now, my dear, you just go on and believe God. Just let Him bring it all to pass in your life. Let Him bring it into being in you. But you've got to receive the Word, you see. Got to receive the Word. You haven't just got to believe the Bible. Mary believed the Bible, but God sent a special messenger to her to give her the Word. Not just the Bible. You saw that one out. Give her the Word. It's specific. It's directed right to the heart. And blessed be the name of the Lord. We confess, I confess to you, that Jesus Christ is in my flesh. Come into my flesh. That's my confession to you. What a tremendous and glorious thing this is. We sang a little earlier about that flame kindled in some hearts it is. To send fire on earth, he came. Kindled in some hearts it is. Oh, that all might catch the flame. All partake the glorious bliss. I tell you, this is a very inflaming truth. Oh, glory. This is a very inflaming thing. My, I can tell you it inflames the imagination of the heart. It's not all full of evil and sin anymore. It's inflamed with God. A man comes under the drive of God. Praise God. God is moving. Oh, what a tremendous thing it is when this is brought all out of the realm of mere believing. And brought into the realm of true conceiving. And it's in the heart. And it's in the life. And it's in the flesh. Oh, I tell you, this is the great, great thing that God has come to do, beloved. In us. Right down here. Not just in our best prayers and prophecies. But in our flesh. Now, unless it's got there, beloved, there's something missing. Entirely. Amen. Isn't it wonderful, you know? You see, I've got to live in the flesh. I don't know how much longer. But I've got to live in the flesh whilst I'm on this earth. I've really got to spend my days down here in this body. Then we all have a release at the end. The Lord comes and takes us out of it, and that's wonderful and it's glorious. But whilst I'm here in this flesh, I've got to live here. I've got to live with it. It's no good me trying to get away from it. Don't want to. God knows, so he says, alright, I'll come in your flesh. It's simple, and it's only by the Holy Ghost that he does it. It's by the Spirit of God. And the great mantle, if you like, the great power of the Spirit of God is the wonder that he can unite spirit with flesh.
Amen.
That he can unite God with flesh. With God, nothing's impossible. Do you people believe this is impossible? There's nothing impossible with God. Amen. Oh, glory. We all ought to be standing up now. Think of the things that you thought are impossible. Eh? I mean in yourself. No, I don't mean about going to the moon. There's nothing in that now. In yourself, the things that you felt you despaired about. Now there's nothing impossible with God. Glory. In relationship to your spiritual life and your flesh. Nothing. Here then, beloved, is the glory of it all. Oh, I wish somebody had told me this when I was as young as some of you. It would have saved me a tremendous lot, I tell you. Oh, to know this glorious conjoining of God with man, so that we can be like him. Like him. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm so glad that he's poured upon our flesh. I know that John's Gospel says that which is born of the flesh is flesh. But that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And when I'm born of the Spirit, I'm no longer born of the flesh. See? I'm born of the Spirit. Amen. And now I'm a new man in this flesh of mine. All the links with the old fleshiness of our flesh, that is the sinful ethic of our flesh, is downward.
Thank God.
This is it. Let's have a look in Galatians chapter 5. We'll see this. It says this. Verse 13, listen, brethren, get your ears open. You sisters too, you listen to this. Brethren, we've been called unto liberty, not bondage. Amen. He's come to set us free from all these naggings and nigglings and I don't know what. He's come to call us to liberty. When we let God take liberty with us, amen. When we let God go free in us, when we take our minds and hands off everything, off our thinking, off our belief, you say, oh God, you come. That's right, glory. That's the way. When you stop limiting God, say, oh, come, I believe this. I stop believing. Don't believe now. Just call on God. Oh, Peter didn't believe anything much when he was drowning. He said, Lord, save me. That's right. He called on Jesus and he came. He said, oh, I believe in the Holy Ghost. And he didn't say anything like that. He didn't say, well, I believe in the Ten Commandments. He got all that. He said, Lord. See, people are never brought where they went when they open up to let God come in. You mustn't have any gates. Be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors. Let the King of Glory come in. That's right. Let him come in. The King of Glory. You have to call on him, you see. This is the tremendous thing. And you have to run up to God. You've been called to liberty. See? Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. All the laws fulfilled. All the laws fulfilled in one word. Yes. It's all fulfilled in one word. Thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. There you are. All the laws fulfilled in that. Isn't that marvellous? Praise God. You know, I'm relieved of a tremendous lot now. I don't have to learn a lot. The Holy Ghost has come to be my teacher. All the laws fulfilled in one word. My own Moses. He wrote books and books of it. Yeah. One word, if only he'd known. One word, he didn't know. Right. True. It's all fulfilled in one word. It's precious, isn't it? Yeah. Glory. Now let's go on. Listen. This is what it says. If you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. Here they are, the things that are quite manifest: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance. That is, if you're always, you know, splitting and dividing, the variance with other people, they say one thing, you say the other, the flesh. Variance, emulations. That's going the opposite from being one of these people going for variance. Instead of, you try to emulate them. You've gone to the other end of the scale. That's all wrong. I remember once, not so long ago, I was preaching, I don't know where it was, somewhere near London. And I don't know what I was preaching, I never do know much afterwards. But I came to this word emulation, and I pointed out that emulation was a work of the flesh. And I said, it's wrong for you to try to emulate Jesus. You mustn't try to emulate Jesus. You mustn't try to be like Jesus. You mustn't try to come up to Jesus' standard. It's sin. It's a work of the flesh. You think it's something of the Spirit. Now stop it at once. Well, the man that led the meeting, when I was over, he stood up and confessed his sin to God. He said, I've been trying to emulate. Yes. You didn't like that at all. All that's of the flesh. It's all so simple. God hasn't got a plan like this for anybody. He's too loving. No emulation, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. There you are. Another works of the flesh. Any of those? Do you go in for any of those? Any of those in you? Come out of you, do they? Now that's why God had to pour his spirit upon all flesh. Because of that. That's absolutely the opposite to the life of Jesus Christ. Absolutely opposite. He wasn't like that at all. Jesus Christ was unique. He never emulated anybody. Why, how could he? There'd never been anybody like him before on the earth. He didn't get at variance with anybody. He didn't strive with anyone. He didn't go in for all these envyings and jealousies and things like that. Nay, nay. He was just himself. Because, you see, he was the fruit of the Spirit that you read about next. But the fruit of the Spirit is Jesus. What he was inside, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, that's the fruit of the Spirit. That's what came out of Mary when she was baptized inwardly in the Spirit, when the power of God came on her. That's right, isn't it? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, all came from Mary. That's Jesus. Came through Mary. Oh, praise the name of the Lord. I wonder if anybody really thinks this has come through you. Spiritually. Whether this has ever really come through you, that it's got right through into your flesh. It's no good you trying to say that you love people in the Spirit, or you're very peaceful in the Spirit, and you're very joyous in the Spirit. Nobody will believe you. It's no good, time, is it? Oh, I've been baptized in the Spirit, you know. I'm very envious, and I'm very jealous, and I'm always variance with somebody. I'm always quarrelling. I've always got an opinion of my own. I'm always this, that, and the other. Nobody will believe you. Nobody in the world. Praise God. God doesn't believe you. The angels don't believe you. The angel said, well, that's not what came forth from Mary when I took the word of God to her. Came forth in the flesh too. Right out in the flesh it came. Oh, praise God. You like that? In the flesh it's got to come. Now you see, this is why that last hymn we sang was a very good one. It says that Jesus was our joy of our loving hearts. Not meetings, but Rora. We can all come together and have a rattling good time of meetings, you see. But people are like that. They stagger from one meeting to another. They have good time in meetings. They love to be able to get to a pitch where they can let themselves go and have an hour's release. For they're not. Jesus isn't the joy of their loving hearts. It's the roar of fellowship, or the Ravensbourne fellowship, or let me go round, Liverpool fellowship, and Bradford fellowship, and Brighton fellowship. I suppose I better stop this. I've just been naming all the places in England. You see, it's him. It's all him. He's got to come in the flesh, beloved. It's got to be really him.
Hallelujah.
Is he there? Is he there? What a wonderful thing it is when you know he's there. That's how it's got to be. Now, how can... Oh, we've got the time. I must have been late starting tonight. nearly time we've finished. But I think we will leave it there because I don't want to start on the next section another time. All right? The tremendousness of this then, beloved, is to come to this place where you're under the drive of the Spirit. Amen. Driven of the Holy Ghost. Oh, praise God. This doesn't mean that you suddenly get a notion you've got to go to Eskimo land or something like that. Don't mean necessarily that. When Jesus was under the drive of the Spirit, he went out into the wilderness and beat the devil. Now the Holy Ghost will always drive you to overcome Satan.
Amen.
The Holy Ghost will drive you to overcome Satan. It's a wonderful urge. Amen. He won't urge you to go rotten with the world. He won't urge you to go all fleshy like the world. He won't urge you to do that sort of thing. He will just simply urge you, beloved, through to that place where you will do the will of God in your life. Thou art my son. Praise the name of the Lord. You don't wonder then that in John's epistle in the 3rd chapter, as he begins it, he says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God." This is the generation of Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ is generate in you, you see, when you've been regenerate, we're the sons of God. Amen. You move in the Spirit. Amen. Here's the beginning of the gospel. Here's the good news for everybody. The good news for everybody is this, that you can be born of God. You can come under this mighty immersion in the Spirit. You can live a son of God on the earth. This is the good news. This is the beginning of it all. And that you can move always under the dominion of the Spirit of God. Always. As a matter of fact, it's got to become second nature to you. It's got to be new nature to you. When you're there, you're not always fiddling about to get words from God. You always know. I meet so many. Oh, they get a word from God. They're getting a word from God. Jesus never did that. Now you find, you read your Bible. Sons of God don't do that. They may read the Bible and it all explodes into new life in front of them. That's different. But they're not always digging about to get a word for this and a word for that and a word for something else. The Word has become flesh. They know the principle. They know how God speaks into life. They know how it all works. They're on a different basis. They're a race apart from all the others. That's right. This is what marks them out. They move with absolute certainty. Now, they haven't got to have 15 references from the Bible to prop them up. There's something about them. Glory, 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 glory. Praise the name of the Lord. I say, oh, we've got a prophecy about it. Well, Jesus Christ didn't get a prophecy about it. This is it, you see. There are prophecies, hallelujah. Amen. But God moves you into a realm. You're under the urge of the Spirit all the time. Are you there? Are you there? I find that people are needing a true baptism to bring them up into this great life in God. I find that people haven't got a clue when they talk about baptism. You pick up books and they say that the baptism in the Spirit is power, endowment of power for service. Well, of all the weak fiddling things to say. Of course you get power for service if you're baptized in the Spirit, but that's not the point. Mary didn't have power for service. Well, well, well. See, if the pattern's in the book, if people were to stop and read the Bible and understand what God says and have spiritual understanding, they wouldn't be dependent on conference preachers, including the one that's talking to you now. This is the tremendous thing about it, beloved, to be here, to come out of all the cliches and the ready-made phrases and things that have been handed down till we can't see black from white, hardly. I'm going to pour my Spirit upon all flesh, says the Lord. All sorts of things are going to happen then. One of the things he says was that your sons and your daughters, they're going to prophesy. They're going to prophesy. That's right. Do you prophesy? Do you prophesy? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Develop this, beloved. Get on in the life of the Spirit. If you want to prophesy, don't give your lips up to talking foolish nonsense so much. Get out of all the small talk. Don't let it fly to your head and think you're a prophet being raised up of God to do miracles and raise the dead or something like that. But move into this great realm, beloved, where you're living in this vein of the Spirit. This is what God wants. It's got to be. It's got to be in our flesh. Praise God. And when we're moving here, and when we talk to one another, and all our ordinary conversation has this flavor of the Spirit about it, and our speech is always with grace, seasoned with salt. That's right. This is what the Bible says. And we're moving in this realm. Now you may take it for granted that the Holy Ghost is really getting on with a person when he's got as far as their talk. It's really getting on with a person. That's what I said tonight. Lord, we're coming on. We're coming on. God is—he must have your flesh. He must have all the life that you're living in the flesh. Must have it all. And if you will do that, he'll make everything holy. If you will do that, everything about you will be holy. He'll sanctify everything that your flesh does. Everything. If you'll let him come in your flesh, really there, everything that you do will be sanctified. You may let your mind run over all the range of things that you that improper behavior from cradle to the grave, and that can all be sanctified. Everything. Providing you let Jesus Christ come in your flesh. Providing you let him do this wonderful ministry of getting hold of your spirit, soul and body and integrating them into one glorious revelation of God. That's the power of the Holy Ghost. Alone can do that. And I want to tell you that that's the way God begins. When he really begins in the life in the Spirit. Before that, the Spirit is operating on you to bring you to this life in the Spirit. It's all very wonderful, and it started long before you were ever aware of it. It's like the angel said, "Blessed art thou, the Lord is with thee." Amen. "Blessed art thou, the Lord is with thee." Glory. Now you may depend that when the Lord is with you, he's with you for this purpose, to bring you through to this place where by his own coming of the Holy Ghost upon you, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Amen. But when he works in you like this, beloved, everything's going to be for his glory in your life. Well, has he got there with you? How far has he come with you? Has this great power come upon you, beloved? And it is a power coming on you from on high. It's something that's not of this world. It's something that you can't work up. It's something that God comes upon you from God. Amen. Praise God. I'm glad you can't work it up. You can always you always know those who think you can get it by working up. You always know them. Amen. But when your heart moves in confidence with God, that have come on the realm of faith, not expecting any disappointments at all, praise God, but moving through saying, "Lord, I see this. This is what I want." Glory. Yield up everything to him. Your mind, everything, body, soul, all your affections, all your emotions. Why, not so very long ago, in a certain place, I was in a place and there were ever so many students there. They were all taking their degrees. And I don't know what, they were lots of ever so such clever people. And they were having great difficulty about this. University people, you know. Oh, they sort of believed up here, so, well, I was sitting by one of them on a settee and I said, "Look, it's nothing to do with your intellect at all. Nothing to do with your intellect. You believe all this." He said, "Yeah, I believe all this intellectually," this young man said to me. I said, have you ever seen that this is something of the emotions? Something of the emotions. This young man looked at me, I didn't say emotionalism. But it's something of the emotions. Don't you see it's a love affair? Don't you see it's a love affair? This is you deliberately having an emotional relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He never thought of that before in his life. Of course it's emotional. But you sit there all petrified and say, I believe it. Well, of course you're in your coffin still. Petrified, atrophied, buried. If you keep there long enough, you'll rot. It's right. That's what people do in growth, don't they? I said, "No, you've got to deliberately have an emotional relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ." I said, "And a joyful one too." That's right. So we sat there. I said, "Go on then." And he did. Glory to God, he said. Amen. he thought he'd just got to say, I believe you, Lord. It's a relationship that Jesus Christ is after, don't you see? Nothing to do with sex. Rotten sex. Or even good sex. Nothing to do with that. It's to do with emotion. It said, "Do you, everything about you released and poured on Jesus. Hallelujah, are you ready for it?"
Are you ready for it? Get that frown off your forehead. Don't like that. It's a joyous, glorious... I tell you, it's wonderful. Amen. Be prepared to give him everything. That's right. He said, well, how? Well, I'll tell you, the Holy Ghost. It's the Holy Ghost. Leave that to him. That's right. He's your how. Glory. God, start to receive now. It's an emotional relationship. Yeah, it is. It's a love affair. It's affection. It's faith carried through while you trust yourself with, trust Jesus with everything inside you. What a he doesn't want your scrappy intellectualism. He can give you a real brain if you want one. It isn't that. He doesn't take honor from men. It's not an honor for him for you to believe on him. What he wants is you. Oh, you. Hallelujah. Glory. Praise the name of the Lord. I remember when I married my wife. This was a real good occasion for us. 28 years ago. Well, it rained. Rain. But it wasn't the weather I was after. You see, this is the thing. Praise God. That's right, Lord. That's right. Hallelujah. You see, it's God. You haven't got to struggle. You haven't got to do anything like that. You just say, well, Lord, fancy. Is that all it is? Lord, I love it.
Hallelujah.
Well, go on, then. If you've never known this, tonight's your night. Praise God. He's here to do this tremendous thing. Glory. Come on, let's have 5 minutes with the Lord. If you've never seen the truth, now come on, you're to enter in. Now, you're not to be led as a lamb to the slaughter. You're not going to have your inwards pulled out or your heads chopped off. You're not going to be punished for sin. You're not going to be sent to hell. You're going to have all heaven let loose in you. That's right. Believe them. That's right. Go on.
Jesus.
Glory. So if it all shut up inside, you wouldn't be if somebody dropped a bomb, you too start screaming.
Glory.
That's right. You're not telling the truth.
Glory.
This is far more important than a bomb dropping.
Glory.
Hallelujah. Glory. This is the Holy Ghost coming.